So let's get back to this lady in a second. I also want to get your take on what your first line therapy would be when the time comes, which sounds like might be fairly soon. But Dr. Figlin, any other thoughts? You would observe her and then what?
No, so in this patient, the challenge, as Bob Motzer pointed out, is they always ask the following question. Okay, if I'm observed, how much does it have to grow for me not to be observed? And we always have a hard time putting numbers on that because there's no data in the literature to support, well, if it grows 2 millimeters, you should not start, but if it grows 5 millimeters, you should. So in my own practice for this patient, I would have started. And that's because I think a 5 to 7 millimeter growth over 6 to 8 weeks post-nephrectomy is telling me about the biology of the cancer, and I would have had that conversation.
And what options would you have discussed with this patient? And if she said, "What do you think I should do?" What would you have said?
Yeah, so going around the table, we would have talked about the role of observation and watchful waiting. We certainly would have talked about the role of high-dose interleukin-2 and the risks and benefits. She sounds like an ideal candidate. We would talk about the role of a targeted agent like a sunitinib or pazopanib, and we talk about the role of a clinical trial for clinical trials that are in the previously untreated patient population. In the community, without a clinical trial option, I think the community physician would be best served by at least having that patient have a conversation with an IL-2 center to understand the risks and benefits. And if the person chose that or didn't choose that, you could go down that path. If it was in the community and they didn't want high-dose interleukin-2 and the inherent risk and benefit, then in my own practice, I would start sunitinib.
And why sunitinib as opposed to pazopanib?
Yeah, so in my own practice, and I know that's a question that we're going to have a conversation about, long experience, a spectacular support staff, including my nurses that have used it for years and years, novel approaches in terms of schedule changes that offer me the opportunity to maintain dose with a schedule change as opposed to a dose modification. So I've become very comfortable in that space with that drug in this space, and that's what I begin with.
So I want to just tease out as we go around the table everybody's perspective on this question, particularly the first line question. Dr. Figlin, just to finish out now, your thoughts about this were based on her age, lack of symptoms, et cetera. What kind of situation, if any, would prompt you to use something else, and specifically either bevacizumab interferon, sorafenib, or temsirolimus or Lymus?
So in her, I view her as good performance status, intermediate risk because she presented with a primary tumor in place using MSKCC or Danny-Hank criteria. And for me, absent an IL-2 consideration or a clinical trial, a TKI would be the first choice. And then it's which TKI do I have the most experience with? Which TKI do I feel produces the robust benefit over the long term that I can give her? And I talk about pazopanib and sunitinib with her, and we then make that decision together. My recommendation would be sunitinib. And I really don't use very much bevacizumab and interferon any longer, primarily because of the interferon toxicity.
And what about temsirolimus? Could you describe a patient where that would be your first line therapy?
So it gets a little more complicated. Temsirolimus certainly is an agent that's commercially available in the previously untreated patient population who has what is called poor prognostic features, which this patient does not. Poor prognostic features, multiple sites of disease, poor performance status, changes in lab. But we now have further information that even the TKIs work well in that setting. So although temsirolimus was approved in that setting, we now have further data that supports the use of a TKI in that setting as well.
So getting back to this patient, Dr. Quinn, what are your thoughts in terms of watch and wait and choice of first-line therapy?
So what I'd be saying to this patient is that if we're not going to treat her now, that we need to watch her closely. We have a clinical trial that we're doing with Cleveland Clinic and Johns Hopkins looking at patients that are not treated. And it's essentially got a scanning regimen that's fairly reasonable, and it allows us to hopefully in time look at the biology of these patients and how they progress and what we think progression is. But I certainly would talk to her about immunotherapy, either one of the novel agents or high-dose interleukin-2, because that could be a game changer for her. And then if it's standard targeted therapy, I'd certainly go with a VEGF TKI. I don't think it matters that much which one you use. The differences between them may not be that great. and it's a question of experience and being able to manage the side effects in your practice setting.
So in your practice setting, what would this patient likely have received?
Sunitinib,